flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Play clock down to one. They do run it. And they push Allen for the first down. It's over. The Buffalo Bills still in the hunt for the number one seed in the AFC. They get the win over New England, 24-21.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Ready to talk about a near Festivus miracle for the Patriots?
I take no moral victory Mondays anymore, Jones.
No?
Moral victory Mondays are on the outlist in all the pop culture charts and current magazines. No, I'm so over moral victory Mondays, especially when you look at the fact that the majority of this team that currently should be experiencing a moral victory Monday won't even be here next year. No way.
It's very, very true. Now, I did not expect Fitzy in for Keefe today on Jones and Keefe, Patriots Monday. I did not expect Fitzy to be such a Grinch when he's wearing his Santa hat. Look at you all festive and ready to go.
And look at you in your – are you wearing a Squid Game tracksuit?
I was leading you into asking about my outfit, so thank you very much for doing so. But, yes, I am wearing – it's not a Squid Game tracksuit, but it is a holiday-themed tracksuit that I picked up in, like, August at Home Goods, and I was like, I'm gonna wear this for, like, a week straight right around Christmas. It's holiday-themed. It's also almost like Sopranos-themed inadvertently. Ken said, you know, have fun at the Bada Bing later when I walked in. But, yeah, it's very, very, very comfortable. But we look very festive, which is nice.
Which I love as well. Yeah, I saw that outfit, and I immediately thought of, last week when the Squid Game 2 promo came on during some game, and they're doing a collaboration with Domino's, and I was like, what about ready-to-eat, like, quick-delivery pizza in a murder competition, says natural crossover. Or, like, you look like you could be in, what was that, Uncut Gems?
Yes.
The Sandler movie that was, like, 95 minutes of being in a car with no brake line?
Yes. No, it looks like that. It looks almost like something Polly Walnuts would wear. But we're in the holiday mood, or at least I'm in the holiday mood. I was willing to give the Patriots at least a half a moral victory Monday here today. on Jones and Keefe. Fitzy in. We got all the regular bells and whistles today. That means, Fitzy, you got some questions for Christian Gonzalez. You ready to do man-to-man-to-man coverage?
I have been waiting. This is my one shining moment, Jones.
I can't wait.
I am so fired up to just get awkward with the second-best player in the Patriots.
I can't wait. We'll talk to Hunter Henry as well. We have what happened. We'll take you back through Week 15 in the NFL. Grab bag. We also have some more year in review. We started that on Friday. We'll do more of that today. On a Patriots Monday with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. That's also your text number. You can interact with the show on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keefe. Watch along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI for our very festive outfits. You can also chat there and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Lots of ways you can follow along here today. So not a moral victory. It's interesting. I couldn't believe how the Patriots started that game yesterday. That was not on my radar whatsoever. I think you solicited predictions for the game. I think my official prediction was 50-3 for Buffalo, I think. None of us had it close, so that I don't think any of us saw that coming yesterday.
No, I think I had 38-17, and I remember doing my hit yesterday morning on Football Sunday with Arcan and Chime talking about the borderline despair I think a lot of us were feeling going into the game, because Buffalo had been averaging almost 40 points a game over their last 5 weeks. Josh Allen seemed like absolutely hell-bent to secure the MVP and make this the year where the expectations were lowered for Buffalo, yet he would carry the team single-handedly back to the promised land, or at least a rematch with Kansas City in the playoffs. And they looked like they had trap game, looking past the Patriots, written all over them from jump yesterday. Whereas the Patriots, who have a head coach who's embattled and supposedly guaranteed at least a second season, so long as there wasn't an epic collapse or fallout during the final three games, came out playing their asses off for their coach yesterday. That did not look like a team that was ill-prepared for the big national spotlight, because they got flexed out from 1 o'clock to 4:25, Jones. It was almost as if the Patriots were wearing the Bills uniforms, and the Bills literally were wearing the Patriots uniforms with that...
very confusing.
Red Pat the Patriot throwback-esque Bills jersey.
It was very, very confusing, and I agree. You know, we can get into whether or not Jerod Mayo did enough to save his job. We'll talk to you all day long on the phones again, 617-779-7937. I think that's a complex question, because the first half was good. They were running fake punts. They were ready to go on their opening two drives of the game. Like, and this has been a bit of a theme with them, where they're usually looking pretty good on their opening drive or two, moving the ball. Six plays, 58 yards. May hits booty for a 28-yard touchdown. They get a stop against Buffalo. 16 plays, 91 yards. Stevenson, when he wasn't fumbling, running people over on that 14-yard touchdown run. They're up 14-0. Mm-hmm. They're faking punts. They look like a completely different team. And then the second half starts, and they look totally different. Stevenson fumbles. May red zone pick. You have the backwards throw from May to Stevenson. Who do you blame on that? We can get into it. The play call, May, Stevenson, DeMontre Jacobs. And then you get what I think is the biggest second guess for Mayo today, that wussy punt. Fourth and five, their own 46, 8:33 to go, and they're down 10. And this is a guy coaching for his job earlier in the game, doing so boldly. Then he has that decision there. That's my big second guess for him today, and I don't really think he explained it well after the game either, Fitzy.
No, he didn't. And Jones, here's how I knew we were going to be, though I came out a little more dour or Foxborough frustrated, considering that I'm usually the old jolly jester of the Jumbotron for Pat's Nation. I knew you and I were going to be hive mind on this game, because last night I went into the Jones and Keefe Google document, which you guys granted me my ultimate Christmas wish of, which is access to that. That was my golden ticket to Wonkaland. And so I went in there to actually paste in the Surrender Index Twitter link to the wussified punt, and I saw you had already dropped it in there, and I was like, my man. That infuriated me so much, and that encapsulates to me why people get so frustrated with Jerod Mayo, because you can't be the same guy who is coaching aggressively and playing a different tone and tenor of football game in the first half, going for it with a power run on a short snap on fourth and two at your own 24-yard line to surprise the Bills and get a first down. They were being aggressive. They were coaching to win. That was my main wish yesterday. Not better quarterback play, not better defense. I wanted them to coach aggressively all the way through to the end, because that's what would give them a chance to at least cover the 14.5-point spread. But to come out in the second half, and with 8.5 minutes to go, knowing you need two scores, and punt the ball away, that... to me was just absolute football cowardice, and I was stunned by
it. Well, 95th percentile, rather, on the surrender index, if you follow them. So, over a long period of time, it was one of the more meek punts in recent NFL history, and that's after being aggressive earlier in the game, which does feel inconsistent. Patriots fall 24-21 yesterday in Buffalo. They come out on fire in the second half, first half. Second half, it tails off a little bit. I'll be talking about it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. Fitzy in for Keefe. On a Patriots Monday, we will, however, be talking to Patriots players all day long. And we're joined now, as we are every Patriots Monday, by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He joins us here, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, how are we doing this week?
Good, guys.
Better performance yesterday from you guys, despite the loss. A close game against a team that is Super Bowl caliber. What was working well for you guys in the first half?
We were just able to stay ahead of the chains, manageable third downs. Obviously, we picked up a lot of third downs early. I feel like we were just controlling the ball, moving the ball forward, not having many negative plays, not many penalties. When we play that kind of brand of football, we're a really good offense.
Hunter, it seems like you and Austin Hooper really had some success early yesterday. You were getting open for some key first downs as well. You went 4-for-40 on the day with a touchdown. Hooper 4-for-55. Was there something you saw in Buffalo's defense, which I know had a secondary that was kind of banged up, that made you guys think the tight ends could feed yesterday?
I think we go into every game that feeling that way, to be honest with you. Hoops is a tremendous player. A guy I love going out there and competing with. We're confident in just the players we are. I feel like we step into every game feeling like we're ready to go.
Career year for you, Hunter, in terms of receptions and yards to this point, but just your second touchdown yesterday. So, number one, congrats on getting into the end zone. And number two, what have some of your struggles been in the red zone this season to get that touchdown number up for you a little bit more?
Yeah, we haven't got down there a ton, the opportunities are a little bit down, but, other guys have also been called upon to make plays, which is huge. It's all about, at the end of the day, just score a touchdown as a team, man. It's not about myself getting in the end zone or whatever it is. It's just finding a way to get in the end zone in any aspect. So it is what it is. I'm always trying to make plays and do as much as I can to help the team. If that's maybe drawing eyes in a way to open up other guys. I don't know what that looks like sometimes, but, it's just been, I've had some unfortunate things too. I've been down there a little bit. But the red zone is very hard. It's tight. It's quick windows close really fast. So things happen really fast down there. It can be really hard to get the end zone in the red zone sometimes.
Hunter, there was the design run play for Drake May, which we really hadn't seen much of so far this season. We weren't even expecting many of them. And then there's that one down in the red zone later on. And it looks like you're kind of almost like playing the tackle part on the stretch run. And we were expecting him to cut in. He goes outside and you get called for like a little bit of a ticky-tack holding call down there. How tough is it to try to maintain that block? And were you frustrated when that when you saw the laundry come out?
Any block is tough at this level. But I got to be better. I got to, make it easier on Drake. It's not on him. I got to be better and make a better block. So it is what it is. The refs called it. And, I definitely probably got away with I definitely was holding in some aspects. So it is hard. But I need to be better with my fundamentals in that aspect so that that doesn't happen.
Talking to Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He joins us here on Patriots Monday. Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Hunter, I know you're a tight end on the team. It's not your call at the end of the day, but if it were up to you, should Jerod Mayo be back next year as head coach of the New England Patriots?
Yes.
Why?
Because he's our leader, man. Y'all like to debate and all that stuff, but he's been so consistent. And who he is, all the guys rallied behind him. He's a tremendous leader. He's been super consistent no matter, how crappy of a year we've had. I feel like we're still improving and getting better in a lot of aspects. and he's a leader that I love following.
Okay, so yesterday, Hunter, you guys get out to a really fast start. Awesome first drive, big touchdown to Booty, then another drive later on, 14-0. So there must have been some sort of renewed sense of urgency or something that went on behind the scenes at practice that led you guys to come out like gangbusters yesterday. What was that? And do you guys think it's possible to sort of like bottle that up and reuse it every week or reformulate that so you guys can finish strong and try to start building momentum for next year?
I don't think it was anything crazy, man. We were just playing ahead of the chains, playing the brand of football that we want to play. We've done that throughout this year at times. There's times we have not done that. So I don't think it was anything special. We're just playing a clean brand of football, not turning the ball over, staying ahead of the chains, setting the ball, running the football, being really balanced. So I don't think it was anything.
Hunter, if you're still – oh, I'm sorry. You were breaking up a little bit. It's 4th and 6, 8:33 to go. You're down 10. In the fourth quarter, as an offense, do you want to stay on the field and go for that?
Well, what was the distance?
4th and 6.
I say punt it. Our defense has been playing good. Play a field position game and then have our defense get stopped because they've been playing pretty solid. So why not?
So you mentioned earlier when I asked you guys about how the tight ends were performing yesterday, if there was a secret in the defense. Austin Hooper has been a very pleasant surprise as the season has progressed, and you said you really enjoy playing alongside. Would you start lobbying to get him to come back here next year? And since you guys have such good continuity with Drake May and yourselves in that tight end room?
I would love to have Hoop back. At the end of the day, it's going to be a decision between him and the front office and all that. But, yeah, I would love to have Hoop back, man. He's a guy that is a tremendous player in this league, man. Done a lot of great things. We complement each other in a lot of ways. We see the game in a similar way, too. He has a lot of snaps of football at this level under his belt, so it's always good to have a guy like that in the room with me.
We got a couple of Christmas games on Christmas Day on Wednesday on Netflix. What are your thoughts about playing on Christmas Day as a player? I know you're not playing in those games today, but what are your thoughts about playing Wednesday games on Christmas in the tail end of the season?
Yeah, man, that's tough, man. I'm not gonna lie to you. That is playing a Wednesday game is pretty wild. I'm pretty sure those guys are playing like 3 games in 11 days. So. Yeah, I mean, hopefully there's good ratings on these games because, man, that's definitely a tough turnaround for those guys.
Yeah, the ratings on previous Christmas days as the NFL has just come in and completely taken over where the NBA used to be king on Christmas Day, Hunter, they're massive. Like, they're 20, 30 million viewers at a time. Like, it's a big deal. But let's walk it back to the night before. Imagine you guys have a little time off. It's Christmas Eve. Kids are finally in bed. Hunter and Mrs. Henry get a chance to relax. What do you like?
Go on.
Do you feed up, crack a beverage, watch a holiday movie, wrapping gifts? What's like the Christmas Eve at the Henry house about?
Yeah, we'll probably now that we got young ones, we'll probably be building a few toys and getting things ready. I always have my annual glass of eggnog. So I'm a big eggnog guy, so I'll have that, and then, yeah, man, just relax and get ready for a big day ahead of on Christmas with my kids.
Let me give you a little tip, a big eggnog guy here as well. The best way to go about it, Hunter, is instead of just doing like rum or bourbon, put a little Kahlua and vodka in there, like a white Russian. You make a yellow Russian. It is the most sublime holiday drink.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Good advice there.
All right, Hunter Henry, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the eggnog. We'll talk soon.
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas.
All right.
Yeah, you too, buddy.
Hunter Henry on a Patriots Monday. So you are a big eggnog guy. I know Keith is as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know Keith handed that out to the show here. We all got a little. Did you guys dip into the eggnog back there yet? Did you try it?
I haven't yet. I put it in the freezer, found out it froze. But it's all right. It's all right.
It's the nog?
It's in the fridge.
It's a glass bottle, I think. It froze?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Put it in the fridge. It'll be good to go tonight.
A glass bottle with like 7 different alcohols
in it. Did you try it, Nick?
It's in the fridge.
Let me tell you, it is It is strong. I was not ready for
Keith
the...
Keith walked in and goes, tastes a little like paint thinner, a lot like the holidays.
I was not ready for the booziness in that
well, eggnog. That's what I assumed when I saw the booze on the label, what how many different whiskeys yeah. were in it. I'm like, oh, this won't freeze, but no, wait, there's enough on. Eggnog to freeze it.
Yeah, well, first of all, it doesn't surprise me at all that he makes Molotov eggnog. And second, have you ever watched his, like, how to make a oh, yeah, margarita yeah.
Oh,
video?
Yes, 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 yes.
It's like 9/10 tequila and then the rest. It's of course it is.
It's booze forward is what
one
I would
Mississippi,
say.
1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi, 5 Mississippi, 6 Mississippi, yeah. 7 Mississippi, 8 Mississippi.
It's a booze forward eggnog. I'm not saying I didn't like it. I just wasn't ready.
Sure.
Right, yeah. So the just, one that he gave us has brandy, blended whiskey, rum, Kentucky bourbon.
What the hell, man?
So I figured between all
and
of those,
I'm like, some
eggnog.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't drink that when you're wrapping presents and getting the hearth and the tree ready the night before. My God, you'll fall asleep Don Draper style with a bunch of half-wrapped gifts around the tree.
Nice.
That's, I got a text from Rich the other day. He actually dipped into my recipe and said what a pleasant change of pace that was for his nog schedule.
Yeah, no, it was. So Hunter Henry, big eggnog guy. I was not, Fitzy, to be candid, I was not sure where you were going with that Mr. and Mrs. Henry question there at the end. I was
almost lost it when you said, go on.
I was curious where that was going. But good stuff there from Hunter Henry. You can check that out on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get that on your phone. Take it with you. It's free and easy. You won't miss any WEEI all holiday season. Real quick, brief, because Billy's going to update all the details on this. Red Sox did make a move today. Walker Buehler, one-year deal, about $20 million a pop. He's coming back from Tommy John a couple of years ago. Your thoughts, Fitzy?
Love it. They grabbed Walker Buehler, 1 year for $20 million. That's tremendous. Look, I would have preferred they get Corbin Burns
yes.
or extend somebody on a longer-term deal, but Buehler was not himself the majority last year as he came back from Tommy John. There must be something in Craig Breslow's DNA that he has to be a Tommy John sympathist considering what they did last year with Hendricks. And then Santander, or who's the guy they signed the other day that also was coming
off? Sandoval.
Sandoval.
We love Sandoval as Red Sox fans. We're the big
huge.
Sandoval, yeah.
As many pitchers that have recently had Tommy John as possible. But Buehler was nails in the postseason, and any guy that gets the last out of the World Series and has the stones to strike out our boy, on the Yankees to win the World Series, like, I'm in it. I think it's a good deal. I'm happy that they added some depth to the rotation and they added a potential power right-handed arm. It's a good deal.
Look, here's my thing. I like the signing. I like Walker Buehler. I mentioned him way back when at the beginning of the offseason. I like the signing. But that's one thought. The other thought is the Red Sox still haven't spent any real money. It's a one-year deal. They got Aroldis Chapman on a one-year deal. This guy on a one-year deal. They're paying nothing to Crochet. Sandoval's probably not going to pitch for the team this year. So where is the money they're going to spend? I was told they were going to spend $700 million on Juan Soto. I was told they were preparing offers for Corbin Burns. So that's my gripe about it. I like Walker Buehler. I'm going to try to get Walker Big Game Buehler to catch on. Thank you, Nick. I'm going to try to get that to catch on. We'll see if it does or if he ever eventually gets into a big game here in Boston. But I like the signing. It's short money. It's a good risk. I think it's a good deal. But they still haven't spent any real money, and that would be my gripe about the Red Sox. So you can jump in on that. We'll take your thoughts all day long on whether or not Gerard Mayo did enough to save his job yesterday as the Patriots kept it close with the Buffalo Bills, and how much blame do we put on Drake May for yesterday's loss? We all like him as a player. A couple of bad turnovers yesterday. How much is on the young quarterback? We'll do that right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Patriots fall to 3-12 and have dropped five straight after yesterday's 24-21 loss to the Bills in Buffalo. Drake May finished the game going 22 of 36 for 261 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. The Pats have two games remaining on the schedule, beginning with Saturday's matchup against the Los Angeles Chargers at Gillette Stadium. Week 16 wraps up with the Monday Night Football game between the New Orleans Saints and the Green Bay Packers. Kickoff is at 8:15. You can hear the call of the game right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM with Westwood One's coverage beginning at 7:30. According to Jeff Passan, right-handed pitcher Walker Buehler and the Boston Red Sox are in agreement on a one-year, $21.05 million contract, sources tell ESPN. And the Bruins and the Celtics return to action tonight. The Bees host the Washington Capitals. Puck drop of the TD Garden is at 7 o'clock. And the Caesar in Orlando to play the Magic. Tip-off from the Kia Center is also at 7 o'clock. Want to get on the nice list this holiday season? Help your friends, family, and businesses by helping them find money at findmassmoney.gov. It takes only 30 seconds, and if you haven't checked in a few months, go now and look. They're constantly updating the list. findmassmoney.gov. It's fast, easy, and free. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
Your conversations about our coaching staff and stuff like that, I think it's some BS, to be quite honest. Coach Mayo, those guys, Coach Mayo's, we got his back, and he's coached us hard. He wants to win. We all want to win. We're all frustrated. AVP's been, I feel calling great the past weeks. We're just plays away, and especially me turning the ball over. I think it's just a testament to these guys that keep fighting. We're not gonna make the playoffs. We're out of the race, and these guys keep coming in, and they're frustrated when we don't score, and they got energy at practice, and they got energy coming to the game, and we want to win. There's guys not even playing that are yelling on the sidelines and wanting to win. So it's I think we're building something good, building something that feels right here, and I'm proud to be proud to be a Patriot.
Drake May, proud to be a Patriot, and it's BS talking about Jerod Mayo and his job security. It's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Monday. No Keefe today, which means he got Fitzy. What'd you think of those comments from Drake May, Fitzy?
I continue to be impressed by his leadership qualities, and I like the fact that he's a stand-up guy who is fully accountable, Jones. But did he really need to try to refute all of the stories of last week, to call them all BS and whatnot? Like, there's got to be a reason why certain people are frustrated with the team and, have cast a no confidence vote in the way things have gone, because the team has been so inconsistent all year. But as far as he goes, like, I have no issues with Drake May whatsoever. And I think that's why I don't take this as a moral victory Monday, because I've already seen what he's capable of. I know how good this kid is. I appreciate the cut of his jib. I want to see the rest of the team ultimately try to raise their level of play up to the standard that he has set quickly in his now just over half a rookie season.
So I agree with that. Like, I like Drake May. I was a big fan of his in the draft process. I loved the pick when they did it. I thought they should have started him earlier than they did. I like what I've seen. He leads the NFL in turnovers since he took over in week 6. He has what I think is a sham of a streak going on right now of a pick in 7 consecutive games. The last 2 games prior to yesterday, the receiver handed the football to the defender. So I do think that's a sham of a streak, but it's 7 consecutive games with a pick. I think it's 15 turnovers since he came in week 6, which again leads the NFL. I love Drake May. I feel good about him long term. I think he's been better than advertised. But for yesterday's game, I do feel like he's the person I blame the most for the loss. Because that red zone pick was brutal, and I'm sorry, I know Mayo this morning was complaining about there should have been a flag on that play. He did call it a bad throw, a terrible throw by May. It was a terrible throw by Drake May. And I also don't let May off the hook for the lateral pass to Stevenson down by the goal line. Questionable play call by Alex Van Pelt. Stevenson's got to catch it, right? On top of that, you have DeMontre Jacobs whiffing on the block. So I don't blame him more than anybody else on that play, but he fires a bullet in there, and you look at Ramondre Stevenson and go, even if this is complete, we're losing 5 yards on this play. What are we doing here? I don't let him off the hook for that. So I do kind of look at him yesterday and in a vacuum say he's a big reason they lost that game yesterday. I'm not out on Drake May. I don't think the Patriots don't have a future franchise quarterback or anything like that, but yesterday I thought he hurt him in that second half a lot.
Oh, yeah. No, he definitely had his first half was awesome. That opening drive was dynamite, hitting guys underneath in the flat for 8 and 10 yards. Nice outs. And, of course, that gorgeous touchdown pass to Kayshon Booty. But then in the second half, I think the play calling and the chutzpah of the offense and Drake May's confidence in all of that all fell apart concurrently. Like every part of the operation that was in sync in the first half, Jones, completely fell apart in the second half. It's like they prepared the first two acts of the movie, and then they're like, "Yeah, but there needs to be a really good ending and credits too. Like, you can't just say like, oh, it was really awesome for the first hour. No, you need a second half. They're going to adjust to you, so now you have to adjust to them, and that's one of the big issues. I think that's maybe one of the biggest knocks, period, on this coaching staff. There is no famous, oh, Belichick and McDaniels and Weiss and Adams and everyone would go into the locker room and go play chess while everyone else would play halftime checkers and come out and be more prepared than the other team. We've seen none of that here. And I think the play call to throw a lateral, I don't care if DeMontre Jacobs did exactly what DeMontre Jacobs does. He missed a block. Okay, sorry. That's doing DeMontre Jacobs things. The man is I'm sure he would be a delight to have over for game night or to go bowling with, but he's not a good starting right tackle in the NFL. So he misses his block. Drake May can't throw that ball. The hospital ball to Hooper down the seam, that was a little bit forgivable-ish, but still you got to watch out for that one. You can't throw that pass. And then on top of it all, you can't call that play. Who in their right friggin' mind calls a lateral at the 4-yard line?
Oh, you know who.
When
Alex Van Pelt, that's who.
Hart and I were talking about this on the postgame show last night. Did it or did it not feel like if Buffalo rushed 5 or more, they were able to just get free access into the Patriots' backfield all 100%. Day long.
May would drop back, and he was already on the run the second.
Sea of red.
The
sea
second
red.
He hit his his back step, his fifth step, his seventh step, whatever it was, he was scrambling for his life. Yes, 100%.
Yeah, and so everything about that play call, like, that was a losing decision. And you end up losing games where you make decisions like that, and you carry through with it. He's got to audible out of that. I don't know if he has the power to. I don't know why that play was called. Ramondre just flat out drops the ball. He probably thought he was going to get popped, but his fumbling issue is just unforgivable at this point. And as far as the throw to Austin Hooper in the front of the end zone, you know, I don't care who wants to argue with who online about like, it was a good throw, but Hooper's got to get there in time. Or like, he's got to throw in the back of the end zone. It's a bad read. They should have thrown a flag. Who cares? It was a pick. Why are you being so risky at 1st and 10 at the 16 when you've got control of this ball game? You know, that's when we were begging for you to be more aggressive, Jones, but you have to know when to throttle up and when to dial it back and play smart football. And that was not a smart football.
Right. I agree. I do want them to be more aggressive. I like that they were taking shots down the field on the opening drive to Kayshon Booty. So good. They should be more aggressive, but when the quarterback makes a mistake, we call it a mistake. That's all. I think that's consistent. Mm-hmm. And it was just a tale of two halves yesterday. You know, they come out on fire, they're aggressive, and then the second half was a different story. So, how much blame is on Drake May yesterday? You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Jones and Keefe, Fitzy in today for Rich Keefe. And also, did Jerod Mayo save his job yesterday? I'll tell you, I've heard 3 interviews with him now after the game. Last night, the press conference this morning, and of course here today with Wiggy and the Woman on WEEI. He sounds like a guy who thinks he's saved his job. Like, he sounds like a guy who's more comfortable and thinks he wrapped it up with one good half yesterday in Buffalo. So we'll get to your thoughts on that. Barry in New Bedford, get us started today, Barry.
Yeah. By the way, first off, the Patriots always every week invent a penalty. This one was new. I never seen a guy get called for a block in the back on the kicking team. So that's a new one.
That is a new one.
Okay. I thought the same thing, Barry. That's so great you bring that up. It's like, who commits that penalty? You're the one. You're kicking it. What are you blocking?
Second half Mayo was no different than the entire season Mayo. And I'll give you an example. They're down 10 with about 8 minutes left.
Yep.
You're 3-11. You got nothing to lose. Ben, Campbell in Detroit, the Harbaughs, they're going for it. Because at some point, you got to put trust in Drake May. And you got to trust your guys are going to score here. You know, you did a fake punt in the second quarter, but you're not willing to go down 10. What was Jerod Mayo's response? It's a field position game. Bye-bye, boy. He micromanages. He doesn't coach. And that's what people don't get here. Everything with him is a micromanaging decision. And when you're in a situation like that, he always tends to micromanage.
Yeah.
Like that lateral play. Why would you call that down to the end zone?
Well, so to me, I mean, he can always overrule anything, but that play call is more on Van Pelt. You referenced the surrender index tweet. Let me read it for you because that's what Barry's getting at. And I think this is where fans are most frustrated. And Mayo's explanation after the game was, well, it's a field position game. They punted at their own 45, 4th and 6, 8:33 to go, down 10 in the fourth quarter. Surrender index says that is a 95th percentile cowardly punt for this year and 91st percentile of all punts since 1999. So in the last 25 years, it's 91st percentile. This year, it's 95th percentile. It's a wussy move, and that is a coach acting like, I've already done enough. I already ran a fake punt earlier and saved my job. We're keeping this close. I'm just coaching to keep it close to keep my job. That's what it reeked of.
Yes, that's the inconsistency. That's what drives people crazy. Like, it's no different, Jones. That's the play calling equivalent to you said it, I didn't, and then walking it back. You said it, not me, and then walking it back Monday. Like, he does that all the time, and then he'll make a decision in the first half, which is not the same as the manner in which they're coaching the game in the second half. It's a field position game. Like, no, you're up there to win Buffalo. Like, you know, you were talking about year in review. This would have been one of the biggest wins. This would have been one of the biggest moments in Boston sports for the year, to be on the road in the likely AFC number 2 seed team's house when you're a 15-point dog, and to pull off the win, that would have been a shock. But to coach like, we've already done enough. Like, we showed you guys we can play. Now we're just going to now we're just gonna kind of turtle on the road. Like, that's exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to
do. We don't need to win.
You said it, I didn't.
Yeah, we don't need to win. We're going to cover. I've saved my job. I mean, that's what it felt like yesterday. And I think he feels like he saved his job. I don't know that he should have, but, you know, he checked some of the boxes that I laid out on Friday. I want him to cut penalties down. They did. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to cover and keep it close against Buffalo. They did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hated the punt decision, but they did keep the game close and play better than I expected. And he also didn't stick his foot in his mouth, really. Nothing egregious anyway. There's always borderline stuff, but nothing egregious. So from that standpoint, I guess he had an okay weekend. I still don't need him back next year, but he might have done enough to save his job. 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your thoughts. The coaching staff in general, is it really possible they're all back? Not just Mayo, but AVP and Covington and even Elliot Wolf upstairs. Is it possible they're all back? We'll get into that. Phil Perry wrote something interesting over the weekend. Plus, Fitzy mentioned Ramondre Stevenson and his fumbles. How concerning is the fumbling issue for Ramondre? We'll get to it next.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Time to be some questions about the New England Patriots and their head coach, Gerard Mayo. Here's my understanding of this situation. The Crafts want to keep Gerard Mayo. They believe he is the leader for the organization, for their future, and they knew it would be a multi-year process to get this thing right. That is their stance right now. Now, if things go off the rails, Rich, if they start to really struggle and they lose the locker room the last couple of games of the season, we've seen this thing turn. But as of now, the Patriots believe Gerard Mayo is their leader for the future.
Ian Rappaport, yesterday morning, before all the games in Week 15, which, speaking of which, we'll go through about a half an hour from now in what happened. Week 15 of the NFL. Take a quick spin around the league and catch you up to speed on all the happenings from this weekend. We'll get into Gerard Mayo and his future as well. Coming up at the top of the hour, Phil Perry wrote something interesting to piggyback off of what Ian Rappaport said yesterday. And it's Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We got Fitzy in for Keefe today. If you're watching along on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, Fitzy's got his nice Santa hat on. He's giving the people a wave. So a good reason to tune in. Fitzy, you agree with this? Text message, 617-779-7937, same as the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, the coaching sucks, but the reason they lost yesterday wasn't because he punted on 4th and 6 with over 8 minutes to go down 10. It was because your quarterback and running back turned the ball over. Do you agree with that?
The running backs' turnovers are a massive problem. Like, the first fumble kills a drive that they get going, and then, of course, Buffalo is able to convert that into points. And then he literally gave them 7 points by putting the ball on the ground. Now, yes, we agreed Drake May probably shouldn't have thrown the ball. Most importantly, Alex Van Pelt absolutely should not have called that play. It shouldn't have even been anything resembling an option. But Ramondre Stevenson led to half the points of the other team. And yes, Drake May was a little careless with the ball, but I mean, do we have to go back and play the Peyton Manning had 30 interceptions his rookie season, and look how good he was his second year game, because I'm going to continue to play that. This kid is playing with one of the emptiest cabinets of talent as far as running backs and wide receivers go in the NFL, trying to make things happen on his own. I don't care that he's turning the ball over a little too much. So the occasional fumble. Yeah, he's got a turnover and a pick in 7 straight, 8 out of 10. We knew that he was a little reckless with the ball coming out of college. This is something that he'll eventually work on. And also, when there's better talent around him, this will be less of an issue, Jones. This is not the death knell for this team, Drake May's turnovers. This is something that we'll look back on and say, like, well, yeah, look who he was really playing with. And, yeah, he was learning the game, but he'll tidy that up. Whereas Ramondre, this is year 4 guy. You've been paid. You're a bell cow back. Ball security is paramount to nothing else when you're a running back. You cannot put the ball on the carpet as many times as he has. And I'm going to call his ability to be a lead back on this team into question if he's going to continue to do that. Like, I'm sorry. You're not strong enough. You're not Josh Jacobs. You're also not Jahmyr Gibbs. You're not David Montgomery. You're Ramondre Stevenson, and you are giving the other team points every other game. You can't do it.
So, you know, first of all, I agree with you on May. Like, I'm not overly concerned about the interceptions. I'm monitoring them. And if he gets more talent around him and he's still a turnover machine, which he has been, I mean, let's just call it what it is. He's been a turnover machine.
It's fine.
Then it'll be more concerning. It's the same thing with, like, the wins and losses. I'd like to see him eke out some wins. I don't think it's the end of the world he's losing with this crap-ass team and crap-ass roster around him. But, like, let's follow that. But I mostly like what I've seen out of Drake May. I'm not overly concerned about those things. I'm watching them. Stevenson's another story. Callahan had a good tweet yesterday. Andrew Callahan at the Boston Herald. Ramondre Stevenson is the only NFL running back with 7 fumbles in a year. There's still 2 games to go. 7 fumbles in a year since 2020. He's the 4th since 2010. Chris Carson, who was a fumble machine. Tariq Cohen. And then Adrian Peterson. So, you know, there's some good backs on there. But is he good enough to get away with that? He's put the ball on the ground 7 different times. The one yesterday, you know, really could have been a killer if the defense didn't hold up and limit Buffalo to a field goal.
Right. So, but it was still points.
It was still points, and it ultimately gave Buffalo the lead. And you can give him another half turnover on the lateral play down by the goal line where Taron Johnson falls on it in the end zone. Half on May, half on him, if you want to do it that way. But I just kind of look back at their whole offseason, Fitzy, and I get annoyed at this. They brought back all these players that were on a bad team a year ago, and they're not all bad players. Ramondre Stevenson is not a bad player, but I look at Stevenson and the contract they gave him and some of the other guys they brought back, and I get more and more pissed off about their approach last offseason. They did spend some money, but they didn't improve the team whatsoever from the outside, and that always frustrated me, and he's another example of that.
It's a high floor, you know, working class, blue collar, just get through the season type of team. Like, I remember when you said that you didn't want to bring back any of these guys, and I thought at first it was like, you know, well, I mean, there are some talented players on this team, and there were aspects of the operation that worked well last year. So why not bring back some of these middle-class guys? You know, a lot of Jelani Tavai's, and, you know, you'll have a good competitive team that your fans can be proud of. And we saw them at their best in week one. See, this is my thing about how this team has developed no identity over the course of the season, Jones. They showed us who we thought they were going to be week one on the road in Cincinnati. And I was thrilled they were just going to be a drag you down into their own personal hell, you know, gritted out bar fight, bloody knuckles, a physical football team that would probably lose twice as many games as they would win, but they would make you proud with their effort week in and week out. And then they start the season that way, and then that identity drifts away, and I don't really know who they've been aside from the team that Drake May is on with the bad coaching decisions since then.
Yeah.
That's really all they've been. They've been stuck in that same whirlpool for the last 2 months. Like, oh, look, like it's one of those infographics on Twitter, like Drake May plays well, bad coaching decisions, Jerod Mayo puts foot in mouth, turnover, Drake May plays well, Jerod Mayo, like that's
rinse, repeat.
It
is. Even yesterday, you felt good about their first half, and they were bold, and Mayo looked like he was coaching for his job, and then it feels like at halftime, he like got a short or something, he was back, and he completely went back into the same scared of his own shadow coach. Mike is in Rhode Island on the Patriots and their offense. Go ahead, Mike.
I think Drake May is the quarterback of our future, and I think we need a whole new offensive line. It's like the southern border opening up, because the offensive line can't play well together.
That's it.
And draft guy needs to spend some money soon. And shout out to my essays at the Chop House in Mattoon Courts tomorrow.
Oh, okay. There you go. Shout out.
All right.
Shout good good Southern Border reference. We don't get enough of those, I think, when it comes
they
to...
They got to rebuild the line, Jones. They do. I'm telling you right now.
Here's
we'll
what
do
they got
to
do. They got to sign ICE this offseason. That's going to lock it up. Lock it up for Drake May.
I tell you, Vivek and Elon, they're going to look at all the spending and they're going to figure out how to use that money, right? Hey, if we're giving shout outs, shout out to some of the great people from Tailgater 2000, one of the preeminent tailgates at Gillette Stadium.
Only
who are
some of them?
on their way back from Buffalo, and they are using the Odyssey app, Jones, to listen to
nice.
Jones and Keith with Fitzy right now, and just sent me a text saying, you guys are keeping us company on the long road back.
Excellent. Keeping us company is not quite the compliment I was hoping for. You're on. You're on while we're driving. We're stuck on the road. You're keeping us company. I was hoping for a better compliment than that.
You're entertaining us with your riveting takes and lousy impersonations.
But shout out to listening there on the audio. That's dedication right there, Fitzy. 617-779-7937. So how do you fix the team? Offensive line, good suggestion. Get some talent around Drake May. One way I personally would not fix the team is bringing back Mayo and Covington and Van Pelt. But it turns out the Patriots are considering doing exactly that, according to Phil Perry. We'll get to it with all your phone calls next.